Here we are, June, check it out, June 9th, Sunday p.m., Sunday nighttime here, although it's not dark. Wouldn't that nice how the sun doesn't go down now dark for a while? I like that. We looked at this morning one of the issues of life that people are so confused about, and they hear it all the time, is prayer. And we looked at scriptures that remind us that if you go to the wrong part of the Bible for prayer, you got yourself an empty prayer life, even though you may be praying your heart out. And prayer and fasting, you know, house of prayer, you hear your prayer because you didn't believe, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's the confusing part of what people hear. And I wrote some notes here. It says here, because, see, these kids, young people, will hear mom and dad say what they say about prayer, and they'll pray, and they'll have all these prayer nights and prayer meetings and prayer gatherings and pray around the pole and pray at the lake, you know, and 24/7, 24-hour prayers. You sign up on a list and you keep the prayer chain going, all this kind of stuff, you know. And we know that it doesn't come true, but yeah. But then I got some thoughts here. You know what? On occasion, it appears that the prayers were answered, we know that. On occasion, it looks like hey, it worked. I wonder why it worked this time. I said about it, but I mentioned a guy a long time ago got on top of the roof of a building and claimed the building for God. And prayed and believed that they would have that building for the church, and they never did get the building, didn't have enough money, so I wonder what happened there. Well, you know, there's also people that we've seen pictures, you know, got the hurricanes or got the tornadoes or whatever, and Joel Christian's house wasn't touched across the street, but all the other houses were crashed. Oh, God spared us. What about the Christian on the other side of the street? God didn't spare, and the house is gone. Kids may be killed, or somebody was killed. And people hear this all the time. Well, what kind of a God would choose you to live and you not to live, and all these accidents and kids get sick, and you know, it's a part of that conceit and part of that arrogance that modern Christianity can have. But I got some thoughts here. Except on occasion, here's why some prayers appear to be answered. One, people got money. They can pray all they want, but if they've got the money to do it, or the money to buy it, or the money to provide it for somebody else, then they can do it. There you go. And in some cases, that's not wrong. It's not a wrong thing if you've got money to help for somebody, or if you stretch yourself and to help somebody. I've known for a long time that God does his things through the people. God isn't going to just make money pop out on my shelf here. I mean, you know, it's the people that help each other out. The brethren and such. So we know about all that brethren stuff, and that's fine. But for these modern Christians to say to somebody, well, you just didn't believe. You didn't fast long enough, did you? You sneaked a candy bar, didn't you? That kind of stuff. So people with money can make it look like prayers are answered to people. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the devil is as subtle as it says he is. Then he can provide. He could provide a request to make people think that this works, even though it doesn't. He's very deceptive. Again, back to the people. People can finagle things so they look like their prayers were answered. This comment here, people being good. You know, there's a lot of good people out there. I mean, they really are. They're just good people. They're lost. Some are religious. Some aren't even religious. They're just good people. And there are people that don't know about what the needs are except at a prayer meeting or what we used to call a gossip night. Let's get together, let's gossip about each other, and maybe somebody who's got the money or that can finagle can answer their prayers for them. You know? I mean, you can pray to God, and how much trust do we have? And believing do we have that if we pray and ask God for the situation, could pray without ceasing, Paul's clear about that, and we'll talk about this tonight, but if we have some needs, and they truly are a need, that's part of the issue there, and you pray about it, can you leave it alone? or can they hint to somebody else? And then somebody else feels guilty, so they send you some money. Or they do something for you. They help you do this or whatever. And again, brethren can help their brethren. And when we look at the brethren verses about how we're to take care of each other, that's not a problem. But is it an answer to prayer, or is it just a need that we mentioned and somebody had the money and the ability and the skill or whatever and the time, whatever it takes, to fulfill that? So we talked about the confusion that floats around. Then we talked about the fact we found verses that said, you know, Paul did pray for us. He specifically prayed for us, and we read those verses to prove to ourselves or other people that, yes, Paul did pray for us, for me, as a believer, at you know, the brethren thing. And then we looked at, in scriptures, why Paul did that. Why would Paul pray for us? What were his reasons? And the scriptures give reasons. So tonight, we are going to look at the specific things that Paul prayed for. And the whole gist of the sermon today, this morning and tonight, is this. Are our desires answers to Paul's prayers? We mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2 that the course of this world, our desires were fleshly and in our unsaved mind. We have those kind of desires, and we still fight those kind of desires today. But we're now capable of having the right desires, and is our list of desires what Paul prays for us? Is that what we would desire to have? Well, I thought it would just be good again to go over these verses, and we will summarize them all, and let's just see if what Paul is praying for, we want also, or we have received, or we have seen it take place, or we're growing along those lines. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's get started here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians, right after Galatians, Ephesians 1, 17. I'm sorry, Ephesians 1, yeah, verse 17. How about that? He starts out in 16 where he says, cease not to give thanks for you, make a mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so 17, here's what he's praying for me, for you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, Paul is very plain in his speech, and the simplicity of that is in Christ. That all takes place here, but Paul is quite wordy, W-O-R-D-Y. But he's quite wordy in the fact that he praises God all the time that he talks about him. Cease not to give thanks to you, make a mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Then he goes on, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. But the specific thing that Paul is asking for us is that God would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Where do we get that? We get that from a rightly divided King James Bible, of course, reading from Genesis to Revelation. We get our wisdom, we get the revelation of God, what he shows us, in the knowledge of him. We're talking about God, so we read Genesis to Revelation. We learn about God, we learn about how God handled Adam and Eve, we learn about how God handled Abraham, and all that situation, Ishmael. We learn about how God handled the law with Moses and the rescue, and how God dealt with that stuff. We learn about God manifested himself down here in the flesh. I mean, and we learn about all that stuff. And then how he was killed, and he was put on the cross, and he died and rose again. We know he went to hell. We read about all that stuff. And yet he still comes back, and he's willing to come back again, and they kill the preacher, and he goes to Paul. And all the stuff that God does, he takes care of the whole ball of wax, as we would say here. And when that's said and done, when he's done with the Gentiles, because the Gentiles are done with him, he goes on to the Jews, goes back to the Jews again, and then he eventually takes care of them and guides them with his own spirit upon their flesh, so they do have to walk the law, and then off into everlasting eternity with everybody having a great time. to his glory. And we learn about that only in the King James Bible. We're not going to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him in our little mind and our little hearts. We've got to get it from a book. It's that simple. Okay. Also part of his prayer request, he prays that we would have our eyes of understanding being enlightened. That we wouldn't be enlightened. That's what he prays, that we would be enlightened. That we could see. Then he says three small things. One, know what is the hope of his calling. Two, know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance are. And three, know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. And we should desire these things in our lives. Now this makes more sense. I mean, instead of just praying for a car or praying for a lawnmower or praying for a raise or praying for a job, which we still do. Paul says, pray without ceasing, don't get me wrong. But if this is all we count on is our specific things that we say we need, we miss on this fantastic stuff that Paul's praying for. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Got to read your book. The eyes of our understanding be enlightened to know what is the hope of his calling, which we know, we've studied it through, is to follow Paul. And that's our calling as a Gentile, as a Christian. Know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is. And to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. So it's not that God is dead in our lives. God has his power towards us, to usward. So then why don't we have a house and a car? That's not what, I just don't believe that's, you know, it's like you're praying for the Twins to beat Seattle. Guy gets up there and help me pitch a strike, God. Pray without ceasing, you know, yeah. But once you get a little intelligent study of what it is that our needs are and what we're praying for here by getting into Paul, whether you throw a strike or your team wins or your basketball team wins or whatever, you know, it's just kind of like whatever. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. 3:16. He says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Again, very wordy, but very real, but good. Then he says what? That he would grant you, which is me and you, would grant us, me, you, according to the riches of his glory. Okay, he would grant us what? To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. See, everybody says you got to build yourself up. You got to get that strength in your inner self. Well, our strength comes from the Spirit of God in our inner man, in our inner person. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. That's Paul's request. Is that our desire? That God would grant us for strength from the inside, but it's from the Spirit of God. How does the Spirit of God work in our lives? Through our Bible reading. Not just through our feelings and our heart. Very deceptive. Very tricky. The devil can tweak our heart. Our music can make us think. Things that every consequences... Come on, what's the word? Things that happen every day. Oh, come on. Consequences. No. Things that just happen make us think about different things. Can't even think of the word. Close to consequence. Uh-oh, thing popped up. I bet you Mark's got the word here. Circumstances. Sam's got the word. Very good. Sehr gut. Circumstances, coincidences, yeah, all that stuff. Okay, good. And, we want to have that strength from the Spirit of God, from our Bible reading, from inside. That's where we get our strength, our inner strength. And he says that God would grant us that Christ would dwell in our hearts. Well, we know that, but that's by faith. Not by baptism, not by works, da-da-da-da. Because you quit doing some stuff out there, that Christ isn't gone. So we know that he has done that to us. And that God would grant us to be able to comprehend what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and the love of Christ. Which we do. The more we read, the more we learn. Just this love of Christ is amazing. Now everybody out there in this modern Christian world says things like, oh, the love of Christ, he loves everybody. He just, unconditional, it's an unconditional love, they say. Well, you know, that doesn't tell you how he does it. That doesn't give you the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. You can learn that from your book. And to know the love of Christ. That's what we want him to grant us to know that stuff? Do we want to be able to get that strength from the Spirit of God that's in us? There's also sin that's in us too. So we got to be able to know the difference. Is the music that everybody plays, is it pleasing to God or is it not pleasing to God? Your feelings are very deceptive. Well, you got to get into your book and you got to study out music, and you will eventually come to the conclusion of this modern Christian music is not pleasing to God. It isn't. And you learn that. So we understand that stuff. Okay, how do I get into that one? Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul's praying and he says, "And this I pray that your love..." Okay, here we go. He says that, let's see, verse 9, "I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, into the glory and praise of God." Okay, what do we got going on here? Well, Paul is asking that we would our love would abound, it would grow. We would may abound yet more and more, but that love grows in knowledge and in judgment. Ooh, those last two things sure spoil it for the modern Christian or the earthly atheist kind of a thing who still loves everybody, supposedly. Our love is going to grow, but it's going to grow in knowledge. We're going to be smart with our love. We're going to be aware of true love. True love. And the second part is in all judgment. If our love is correct, if we have the right kind of love towards people, it needs to be intelligent love, knowledge, and it needs to have judgment behind it. We don't just close our eyes and just love everybody and love the situation, love the person. I mean, there's a love there, of course. I mean, we are kids, and they do stupid things, we still love them, you know, but still, there's still a knowledge we have. How can we say that? Well, we say that because we were once kids, and so we learn what is going on and da-da-da-da. So this love has to be a knowledgeable love, and there has to be an all judgment. We have to love. Do we desire the love of judgment, and do we desire knowledge about love, or do we just want to blindly love everybody and just who cares what they're wearing, who cares what they're saying? In lots of respects, we don't care. That's their problem, not ours. But is what they're wearing and where you're going to affect you? Is it going to affect your kids? Is it going to affect your testimony? Is it pleasing to God? Is it something you can't get out of? Da 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 da. What does God say about this kind of stuff? Well, you want your love to grow in knowledge and in all judgment. Then he also says that we may approve things that are excellent. Well, how do you know something's excellent if you don't hear from God when he tells you what's excellent? Well, then you got to get into your scriptures. So, do we desire to approve, to know what's excellent, what isn't? Do we desire that? And then he says that we may be sincere and without offense. Wow, that's pretty tough. Don't we follow our flesh quite often? Well, he says here that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. You go on to verse 11. So if we do the right things, the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ into the glory and praise of God, then we will be sincere and without offense. But he knows that we still got things we desire, things we do that are of the flesh, and that stuff will burn in the judgment seat of Christ. He still provides the cleansing of the things that we do wrong. Marvelous, marvelous. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, just over a page or two. I've got to get brave and get onto a new book. This thing is just totally fun, but I just can't, but I should. I just like all my notes and my scribbles and my brackets, and it's just all there, you know. Oh, well. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And we know that Philippians and Colossians are very similar. He says in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Okay, here we go. "And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Very close to Ephesians. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here is be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then he goes on and he says here that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. See, so he prays that our walk would still be the right walk. And we're going to talk about that walk here one of these days. So that's Paul prays that our walk would be pleasing to God. He prays that we would be fruitful in every good work. Remember, the whole thing is about, do we desire this? Do we desire to be fruitful in every good work? Do we desire to be increasing in the knowledge of God? You've got to sit down and read your book. Write and divide that thing. Increase that knowledge of God. Then it says that we will be strengthened with all might. Unto all patience and long suffering. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? This strengthening we're going to be asking for and praying for and trying to respond as Paul prays for us, that we want to also have patience and long suffering. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. But strengthened with all might unto all patience and long suffering. Do we want to grow in patience and long suffering? I'm not very good at patience. I'm not very good at long suffering anymore. Maybe I'm too old for it. It takes a strength there. Now they got to get the strength in the Spirit of God within my inner self. See how that all fits in? Then he tags on the top of that. Not only do we need to be strengthened with all might unto all patience and long suffering, but to have patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Oh, aren't you just asking too much of us, God? No, remember Paul says all this is just reasonable service. It's not a big deal. In Romans 12. So there's his prayers there. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. "For I long to see you." Now we go up to verse 10. "Making request, if by any means now at length," as he wants to have a prosperous journey. So he prays for us that why? Because he longs to see us, okay? But that he may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Is it our desire? Is it your desire? Is it my desire that going to Paul, the risen Savior through Paul, that I will find some spiritual gift in my life that's for me, that deals with me, which will help me become the Christian to be established that I need to be? See, there's a growth here. And then he says, that is, let me explain this a little better. He says, that is, that I may be comforted unto together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. I mean, Paul has a desire. He wants to be with us. He prays for us that we would be able to receive this spiritual gift and to be established and go up and be a Christian so that we can be comforted and joyful together. Mutual comfort. Paul's a nice guy. He's serious. He's tough. He's simple. He's plain. But he's a nice guy. And then let's go to Ephesians again. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Just moving along here. These are marvelous things to read. Ephesians 6. Do we desire these things? That's the question, remember. Do we desire this stuff? And like I said, I'll have this up on the website another day or so. I'll get June caught up in the sermons and I'll get the notes up there because I've got time to type them now, so we'll get it going in between mowing the lawn and fishing, which I'm going to go after here and see if I can't get some real nice pictures for the website. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always, okay, there we go, with all prayer and supplication in spirit, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, as Paul, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So is our desire that what we read in this Bible will be bold and to the point and will teach it, tell us what we need to hear? For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul prays that we're able to hear what he has to say, not get upset, not get offended, not ignore it, not reject it, but accept it. And that he can just be bold about it. Then he says at the end of that thing, verse 21, but that ye also may know my affairs. So Paul wants us to know about his life, his manner of life, the times he struggles, the times he had a hard time, the joys, the tears he shares, as they say nowadays. And he says there, this Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things. So, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, as you might know our affairs, and that you might comfort your hearts. We can be comforted in knowing that the struggles we have, Paul's been through too. Paul goes through them. I love reading about the shipwreck. I've always thought my life has always had some shipwrecks. My shipwrecks are minor compared to his. My shipwrecks were mostly just opportunities to grow and move on. One of the things I learned back in Tushy, by the way, was life is a journey. Before I really realized that, I've always found a certain niche in my life. I like this, just to stay right here, make it just perfectly happy, you know. Well, that doesn't work. Life is a journey. It's a constant journey. Now my journey has brought me from, let's see, I used to have a map on my wall in Washington. And because I was a kind of a kid who thought I was going to grow up in here in South Dakota and stay there all my life. So I used to sit in the corner of Skeezes Grocery and sit there and count the cars that went by the corner because they had all different license plates because everybody was driving through Huron to go to Mount Rushmore. And I thought, and I collected maps. Remember those days, maps were free in the gas stations. Oh, I so wanted to get out and drive around. Well, it's talk about a journey from South Dakota to Minnesota to Texas to Las Vegas to Idaho to Washington to New York, back to South Dakota. Got the totally wrong order. Up to Washington. Got these all mixed up. Back to South Dakota. Now up to North Dakota. Life is a journey. Every one of those, I could go back. I can tell you the church I was at. I could tell you the ministry I was involved with. I could tell you the music problems I had. Every one of them as they were going towards this modern way, and the challenges and why I didn't stay there. And some of it wasn't my choice, obviously. And, we can learn from Paul that life is a journey. It's just until the day of Christ, we said this morning, and the day of Christ is either when we die or at our rapture. That's when we'll see him. So Paul prays that we would know his affairs so we'd be comforted. I'm comforted. I really don't have any bitterness towards any pastor or any church or anything like that. I've learned from all that stuff. And it amazes me to this day. I talk about it with some people. All the big hot shots have been around and played the games with them and did this and been there and dinner and lunch and all that stuff. And for me not to get suckered into that stuff and to pull away because I read my Bible. Not for any other reason. God isn't magically making me into something. I just read my Bible and realized I can't stay there. I just can't stay with that. It wouldn't surprise me that I'm not going to stay here. Oh, the thought of moving again, it just kills me. I can't imagine doing that again. Oh, I can't even imagine that. So, I don't know. We'll just have to see how it goes. I know we're not here to park unless I'm going to have a heart attack fishing or get some kind of medical issue, you know. But even if that, Paul can be my comfort. And that's what he's for. Know his affairs. I know Paul's affairs. I could talk about the life. I could go through the series of life with Paul. Paul's life. I could do it again. I really enjoy that one. Ah, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's go on here. Let's go to Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4, over a page or two. Verse 12. We'll end it with this one here tonight. Colossians 4, 12. I think. Let me check. It seems like I'm missing a few. Hang on a second. Let's check my notes out here. Colossians 4, 12. Oh, there's a couple more here. Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12. Oh, okay, he mentions here the fact that here's this guy named Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Is that our desire? Well, it was for Paul, and yet Paul still fought his flesh all the time. So we've got that battle that takes place. Now let's go on here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I guess I just didn't get done with my rewriting my notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. What does this one say here? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Do we desire that? See, now here we go. This is one of those, and I know... pull the thing back up again. I know, Peter, that you work, you got your job you have to do, and so do I, and I'm gone sometimes, and that's the way it is, Sam. You do your stuff, but look at the folks that aren't here tonight, and look at some of the folks that haven't been here for a long time. They get on the thing, they listen to it on their own. Some of them have faded away in that one. Life is what life is, and all that stuff. But Paul prayed that he would see our face. He would see us in the audience, in their congregation. He would see us on the other side of the computer, wanting to hear what would perfect what is lacking in our faith. So, do we desire that? Then we would be here. Well, put the pastoral guilt trip. No, the real guilt is if you don't read your Bible. If you desire that Paul and you get together, you get your Bible up and you read it. Doesn't have to be here on the internet sermon. This is just a place we have where we have what we call the internet church, and we get a chance to hear some music and sing along with it if you know them. Hear the teaching, preaching. There's an opportunity to give your money to help somebody, to help their brethren or whatever, to help the ministry. It's all there. Fellowship with the brethren. You could email each other and keep in touch with each other. We could do that. And yet also perfect that which is lacking in your faith. What are we lacking? Well, the faith of Jesus Christ isn't lacking anything. Well, what am I lacking in my faith? Well, Paul would be glad to tell me. I just got to be glad to open up and find out. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We got two more to go here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith and power. Faith with power. So, you know the song that Rex would always sing, Worthy. Let's see, how's that go? It's been a long time. Get your heart right with God. Worthy is it? I don't know. I can't think of it. It's been so long, which is good. One of the things in the Messiah is Worthy is the Lamb. The Hallelujah Chorus is the famous, most famous piece out of the Messiah. But when you get into that and you listen to Worthy of the Lamb, and you plug it in your headset and you just pump it up and you just get into the song and you think of the scriptures and, oh, marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. Well, he would want us to be worthy of what we're called to do. What's that? A Paul follower. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. See, one of the reasons I whine, somebody else I know whines and complains about stuff, is because we're looking to fulfill our good pleasure. We are very selfish. The modern Christian is conceited and arrogant, but we're very selfish. Because when we get into our complaints, when we whine, because we're looking for our pleasure. But Paul prays that we will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. And the work of faith with power is how we become worthy of this calling. That's how Paul prays for us. Those are the details of Paul's prayers for us. Now, let's look at Philemon. The little one at the end of Paul's string of books there. Philemon. And here he's talking to a specific person. And verse 4. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee, singular person right there, always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith. There's why he prays. There's why he prays, because he's heard of his love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. This is Philemon. He's a good guy. And he says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So here's this good guy, Philemon, and he has strong love and faith, and he loves and has faith Jesus Christ and towards all saints. Doesn't say the world, just all saints. And he communicates his faith very effectually because it's real to him. And that's one of Paul's prayers for this guy. So he would like to know that we have love and faith. We have a love and faith towards Christ Jesus and towards a brethren. And that we can communicate this faith that we have very effectually by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. See, we got some bad things in us. Sin is still in us. But become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll write these things up and type them up and put them online here in another day or so. And, you know, go over these things and ask yourself, do you desire what Paul prays for? Or like we did a sermon quite a while ago, are we one of the disappointments in Paul? Because he would have seen what our life, what we do in our lives, would he be disappointed? What we were, where we go. He would. I don't think he'd be disappointed in our jobs because he would say, well, you got to work someplace. You got to provide something in this wicked, perverse world. He would tell that to us guys. Now, here's a killer. He would say to the ladies, what are you doing there? Well, I know your husband died and you got to do what you got to do, blah, 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 blah. But he just says, well, God's grace, you know, hang in there kind of a thing. Maybe the right guy would come along. I know the struggle that's taking place in some people are trying to do the right thing, but I don't know. It's a tough life. We got our battles. Just like Peter says, we got our battles, don't we, Peter? Mark, you got them. I got them. Sam, you've been through a lot over the years. So desire that Paul's prayers be answered in our lives and strive towards those prayers and use them as a basis for not only for ourselves, but then how do we pray for our kids and for our family? Those are the kind of things we should be praying for them too. It just goes on. We pass on to somebody else. Same kind of prayers. Soul.